I'm joined on the line each week by a member of Brentwood Council. Last week it was Steve Summers. We had a good old natter. And this week it is the leader of Brentwood Council. I'm talking to Chris Hossett. Good morning.
Morning, Michelle. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
Yes, I'm very well, thanks.
Have you just come fresh from the town hall? You were raising the flag?
Yeah, still at the town hall. We just, obviously, the 15th is, I think tomorrow, is VJ Day, where we commemorate victory over Japan. So we've just done a flag-raising ceremony with some of the councillors, of course, members of the British Legion, and some of the guys came down from the 124 Transport Squadron as well. And we have a little ceremony, and we put the flag up the pole. In fact, I'm just looking out my window, and it's billowing nicely to commemorate victory over Japan on 15th of August 1945.
Yes.
It's important, you know. We've had a good year of it, with it being the 75th anniversary, so a lot of focus on it, even though we had it, you know, with COVID messing things up, I guess, in terms of the way we'd ordinarily like to commemorate these things.
Mm.
But we made a good go of it. You might recall back in May we did the video and all that sort of stuff. But it was nice to try and get just a few people together and do something physical, which we did today, and it's gone really well.
Now, discretionary grant scheme has helped a lot of businesses. How much has it been so far, and when does it close?
Well, ballpark figures, we've administrated about £29 million through Brentwood into the bank accounts of businesses around Brentwood, effectively. Closure date, I was just scrabbling through my emails trying to find it, and I can't find the email. So it's imminent.
Yeah, it's imminent. 28th of August I've got here.
That's it. Yeah, so I knew it was kind of towards the end of this month. But the other sort of little statistic is we still reckon there are probably out there about 100 businesses that could have been eligible for this that haven't claimed. We don't know who they are. We just do it based on a formula. You know, the message there is you've got to the end of the month. If you're not certain or you've not claimed, then, you know, give it a go. Not everybody qualifies, and there's been probably a minority of businesses that haven't qualified for numerous reasons. You've got some selection criteria that you need to meet.
Yep.
Some businesses, a few haven't, and I know it's been disappointing for them, but unfortunately the rules are the rules, and we can't change those because the government laid them out.
Mm.
But, yeah, a significant amount of cash has been pumped into bank accounts of businesses, and we know that it's been really well received by those who've been fortunate enough to qualify for the grant.
Now, recycling, it's all changed because people have got the new bags. It's a new system to get used to. What's the update so far? How is it going?
Well, so let me just bear with me a second. So anecdotally, and I'm just looking, I've got some numbers in front of me again here somewhere, I'm pretty sure. In fact, I've got them right in front of me now. So anecdotally, without looking at actual numbers, if we look over the last 2 weeks, we've only actually had 1 week of each. So we had blue bag last week, and then we've done white bag this week. So we've only had the first week for both of the collection types. If you drive around Brentwood, I think it's fair to say that the majority of people have got it and done it well. So we saw loads of blue bags out on the streets last week, and we've seen loads of white bags out on the streets this week. And in fact, in the last 2 weeks, we've made 66,000 collections of dry recycling.
Mm.
Now, that's a lot of collections, but in that, we've had about 2,000 sacks that are found to contain stuff that's not been non-recyclable, all right?
Yeah.
And so a proportion. And I know that that's upset people, and we've tried to put a message on, and not always, I accept that as well. And if I'm really honest, Michelle, don't tell anybody, just you and me talking, but my white bag didn't get collected yesterday because there was a plastic carrier bag in it, and we don't include those.
Yeah.
So, I've fell foul of it. But the point is, most people have got to grips with it and are getting behind it, and that's really pleasing to see. You know, if you get it wrong 1 week, my sort of appeal is just learn from your mistake, which is, I'm going to speak for myself, is what I've got to do, and present it properly next week, and then we'll get to grips with it. So I think when there's a new change in a system, you'll always have just a couple of weeks of learning, and then people will get to grips with it. I hope they don't throw the baby out in the bathwater. Mm-hmm. I've got to learn from my mistake, and I've got to get it right next week, and then it'll be collected. We've had sort of 49 tons of paper and card in the first week we did it was sent to the plant.
Mm-hmm.
And what the plant have told us is the quality of what we've sent down there is significantly better than it ever was under the orange bag system.
Yeah.
So that's really good. And, of course, what we haven't done as well is we haven't collected over 130,000 orange sacks last week, you know, in terms of the actual like, pieces of single-use plastic.
Mm.
And that's, you know, what this is all about, really. Reducing single-use plastic, increasing our revenue by presenting 49 tons of stuff that's far better quality than it was before. And also, we're not paying to produce these orange bags and distribute them, because people have got these blue and white ones now, and, you know, they should last at least 5 years.
Yeah.
Now, just to chip in as well, the other thing I should say is that, you know, some people said the bags are too big, so we've listened, and we've ordered already smaller blue and white bags. In fact, we've ordered white. For some reason, we're struggling to get blue. And other people are finding, as I did, that actually the bag after 2 weeks was pretty full.
Mm.
So there is, you can order an additional blue or white bag if your household needs it.
Yeah.
So it's an iterative process. We've only done a week of each, so it's very early days, but we're already learning from it. The other thing to say is, you know, some of the things that are excluded, I know there were some comments about the Tetra Pak not being able to be recycled. But I'm looking to see if we can do an alternate way of doing that, because a lot of people in the town do use a lot of juice cartons, milk cartons, you know, people who are using almond milk and that sort of stuff, that use a lot of these sort of Tetra Pak cartons. So I want to see if we can find another way to do it. So on the whole, you know, 66,000 collections, 49 tons of paper, 134,000 less orange bags, better quality of stuff being presented, I'd say on the whole that is a success.
Now, the High Street. Now, I have to say, Brentwood High Street has been blocked off, and that was to make sure there was enough room for people to do social distancing. And I actually went out, not last week, the week before, to do my little bit for the economy, went out and I had a lovely meal on Brentwood High Street at lunchtime. But to get from Doddinghurst Road to get into the car park at Copfold took me 25 minutes because of the traffic. I got caught in the traffic. Yeah. Now, I know that the High Street is open, but there are plans. I know that Steve said there could possibly be plans for doing this maybe on a Sunday occasionally. So is it? Can you let us know a bit more detail?
So, yeah, you're quite right. There was two phases to looking at reopening of businesses and high streets, which all most of them reopened on the 4th of July, as you remember, about just over a month ago now. And what we didn't know at the time was what to expect. Would it be heaving? Would there be enough space for social distancing and all that? So we closed the high street, which meant it wasn't quite as we wanted, because the buses, I won't go into the detail, but still needed access. So it wasn't a full closure, which was a bit of a shame, really, because people still had to look over their shoulder when they were crossing the road, but it was a lot less traffic.
Yeah.
We come to the end of that phase one, and it became apparent, I think, after 3 weeks, there was plenty of space. Traders had seen the footfall drop. There was a debate as to why the footfall's dropping, because it's a complex issue. But what I didn't want to do is have anyone saying, well, it's down because the high street's closed. So we pushed to get it up, reopened, which we've done. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, that will now remain to be seen. If the footfall goes up now, then, you know, maybe having the high street with traffic flowing in it is a better thing. But that remains to be seen. And, of course, the other pressure last week was, and probably what you got caught in, is I think one of the utility companies came along and put a freeway traffic light system on the diversion route, which absolutely killed it.
Yes.
So, you know, there was a bit of urgency last week to get it reopened. And as you know, we opened it this time last week on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been running like that ever since. So that was phase one. Phase two is there's an opportunity for the Department for Transport to actually fund some investment directly into Brentwood if our proposal with Essex County Council, Essex proposal we've fed into it, meets their criteria. And there's three parts to that proposal. One is to try and improve sustainable transport access into the town centre. Sustainable transport is posh for bikes and buses, basically, if I can put it that way. And we're going to put a proposal in, or Essex is going to put it in for us, that shows a cycle route running from Shenfield connected into Brentwood.
Mm-hmm.
And the roads that would run past, the residential routes, are going to have 20 mile per hour limits, which is the proposal. So I think that would be good. It would be green, it would be safer, it would slow car speeds. And the other thing that I haven't got the detail on, but we're looking to do, is to see how we can alleviate the massive congestion problems that we get in Sawyers Hall Lane when the schools are back in. So we're looking at that, or Essex are looking at that for us. And then the third element to it, to touch on the high street again, is a proposal to actually close the high street on a Sunday daytime to all traffic, including buses, so we can just do something different with our high street once a week and give it a different vibe. Some of the arts groups are already been out. I've seen different people playing music in the high street all week, which is nice. We just want to use the pavement space differently, give it, as I say, that different vibe. Sunday's when we're going to do it, and the kickoff of that, I think, if I've got the date right, it's about 20th of September, when there's a car-free day. It's like a national sort of car-free day thing. So the plan is, Sunday's from the back end of September, High Street during the day will be closed, and hopefully people can come up and enjoy the High Street in a different sort of way.
It's worked really well. I know Crown Street is not a main street, but Crown Street have got the benches out now. On the High Street, you could have, get into the, I know other town centres do it, where they have a market every Sunday, and it gets very busy, and then you have some seating outside, so you can sit outside, nice for social distancing as well, but then you obviously need people to take that away, but that could be something to do. Crown Street seems to be working really well with its benches.
Well, so what I've said to, I'm talking to Kim, who I know you've had on, I'm going to be talking to Kim, and I'm talking to Laurie, who's very much engaged with our local businesses. There's no point just saying, oh, we have closed the high street Sunday and doing nothing with it. So we want to come up with a plan, is when we've closed it on Sunday, what have we actually set up to do those different sort of things that you've just sort of talked about. So we're going to be discussing that over the next month, I suppose, so that when we do close it, it's not just close it, forget it. It's close it, do something different. So that's the plan anyway, Michelle.
Brentwood Lighting Up is not going to be taking place this year at all.
No. But Kim's team, Lucy, Sarah, they're all working hard to come up with some alternate ways of sort of celebrating Christmas around that time. They were doing something last week. I've got to be honest, I haven't fully got my head around it, but they're doing something called a Nutcracker Trail. So it'll be a little bit online, but a little bit where the kids and the families can get out and follow some sort of trail. So more info to follow, but you know, whilst the high street won't be closed as normal and it won't be heaving like we normally do it, we are still going to do some Christmas events in and around the high street again. So you know, trying to support local business at the same time, something in the high street so people are in there doing an activity, but of course close to the retailers as well, and hopefully the retailers get the spin-off benefit of that.
And the family fun day, there is one today that starts at 11 o'clock. There are two more. One's on August the 21st with the theme showtime being the teddy bears picnic. I think that's August the 28th. And the family fun days have actually been going really well because they are on social media, obviously, because people can't get together in massive groups, and they've been viewed 45,000 times, which is excellent.
Absolutely. Again, just all this whole year has been about just doing things differently, hasn't it? Because we can't do things the way we did. But I think the team here have adapted so well to just being mindful of trying to keep stuff on, do events, but doing them online. I think it's been brilliant. You know, don't get me wrong, I prefer the old-fashioned way of doing stuff, and I hope one day soon or next year we can get back to that. But the fact that all the teams have stepped up and still produce stuff, whether it's for the summer holidays, whether it's for Christmas, that people in Brentwood can still engage with, I think is really credit to them, you know.
Now, the Hutton Recreation Ground Consultation closes on August the 17th. Tell us about that.
So, you may recall that about two years ago, a council made a decision in a budget to invest in play areas, significant amount of cash. A lot of our play areas, you know, were overdue renewal, I think, in some cases. And we've been progressing that programme ever since. So the first one that we completed was over at Worley. Worley Playing Fields, fantastic facility there with an outdoor gym. Then we've just recently completed River Road. We also recently completed the play area at King George's as well. And so we've got this rolling programme of upgrading and renewing our play areas. So the next one on the hit list is Wash Road. And of course, you know, we don't just want to come in and say, you know, say anything, just put stuff in. We don't want to do that. We want people to actually engage with us and say, well, actually, I think that piece of kit would be nice, or, you know, this considering access or whatever for people with disadvantages and disabilities. All of these things we need to hear from people, and then we put that into the design, and we make sure that we install something that actually is relevant to the people who live in and around the Hutton and the Wash Road area.
Yep.
So you're right, the consultation, I think, is going on for a little bit longer this month, in order to have your say on that, I suppose the quickest way to do it is www.brentwood.gov.uk, and I'm pretty sure there's a link on there to for people to go on and actually make their comments. And, you know, it's the people's park. Mm. You know, there's no point delivering something that people haven't bought into or had a say on. So that's the plan. But I'm looking forward to that, because Wash Road's on my ward, and, you know, that play area was good in its day, but it's a good 10-plus years old now, and it's definitely in need of renewal. And, of course, the one at Wash Road is a significant player. It's one of the bigger ones in the town. Mm. Actually, Shenfield's another one we did. So we've done loads of them, and there's still loads more to do. But Wash Road was one that was a significant one that was in our plan of work, so we'll move that on fairly soon.
Just to go back to the closure for the High Street, is that going to happen will that happen at like Shenfield or Ingate Stone as well? Is that something?
No, it's just Brentwood we're looking at.
Right, yeah, okay.
Just Brentwood.
Okay.
Yeah.
Shop Local scheme started this week, and the team have been out with the posters, and more businesses are signing up to Eat Out to Help Out scheme.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely, and it's going well. In fact, I went out in the week for something to eat, and the pub we went to was just banged out, to be honest with you. Mm. So a lot of people are taking advantage of it. I think the poor people who are working in the kitchens are rushed off their feet, and of course it's been really hot work in the kitchens in the last week as well, so you kind of got a feel for them. But it seems to be working. As we know, the Eat Out to Help Out scheme has been sort of subsidised by the government as well. So, yeah, it seems to be going well. And, of course, the Shop Local is what it's all about. Like I say, you know, we've said this all the time, Michelle, when you and I have talked on these calls. You know, for the High Street to survive, there's only so much the council can do. You know, we're a public sector authority. We're not private sector. We're not marketing specialists as such. You know, we're not retail specialists. There's so much we can do. We can close High Streets. We can come up with schemes. We can come up with slogans and all that sort of stuff. But The way to make your High Street successful is get out and use it.
Yeah.
And I can't say that enough. People have got to use the High Street, you know. I don't see any reason why they can't. The parking's adequate. It's not overpriced. You know, people just need to make a decision to shop local. And I know it's difficult, because we had this discussion a few months ago about when a lot of the shops were closed. A lot of shops adapted and started then going on to the Brentwood Open, the Ingate Stone Open, the Shenfield Open, Facebook groups to do business, and that went well. But, you know, a lot of people will have migrated to online retail in the last few months, more so than they ever did.
Mm.
You know, and as we know, if you're buying stuff online, you're not buying it in a shop. So people hopefully can start to think about traditional ways of getting their supplies and their produce and support our local businesses.
Now, you've got a holiday support program with Manor Meals for vulnerable families. So during the school holidays,
there's a program that we've run for the last few years in the summer during the holidays called Fit and Fed.
Yeah.
So we do know, and of course, you know, this year's exaggerated it, because some parents have maybe been out of work or on furlough or on half wage or whatever for a period of months already. But you know, we know it's hard for some families that during school holiday time, when the schools aren't sort of feeding the kids on school meals, that, you know, the burden comes back on the household again for a period of about 6 to 8 weeks.
Mm.
But of course, it's been so exaggerated this year because kids have been at home for weeks, and that's why we ramped up our whole can in the van scheme and all that sort of stuff. So this is just an iteration of that. It's something we've repeated every year. And you're right, Manor Meals have been involved. They're effectively running their depot at the town hall, and they've got an absolutely fantastic operation going on with distributing meals to families and actually to the community centres where these programmes are run from. So Bishop's Hall is one, and I can't remember the name of the other place. But they're taking the meals for these Fit and Fed programme. So, that's working well. If people, to get involved, again, the best way I can sort of do it is direct people to the website again. And I'm sure all the information is on there. Or if they want to phone up and ask the question, I'm sure they can be signposted if they phone 312 500.
Absolutely. And we are, as you heard, in recession, which was the news that came out from central government, which is, you know, which I think we all knew was coming. And as you said, as we move towards the end of the year, it's probably going to start biting even more with you know, the backlog from COVID and people losing their jobs. And it is still really important, as you said, to get onto the High Street. If you've got money and you've got going to spend it, try and spend it on the high street. Otherwise, you'll find there won't be a high street next year.
Yeah, and like I say, the council can only do so much. And I, you know, I really encourage people that when we do this closure on a Sunday, let's you know, it'd be good for families just to get out. I don't know what they want to do. Some people aren't in favour of shopping on Sunday. I get that and I respect that. But, you know, we're trying to do something different one day a week. And, you know, if people can seize that as an opportunity to socialise, get together with their family and friends and, you know, maybe have a drink or a meal or something and just bring a nice atmosphere to the high street, then please get behind it when we do that on the 20th of September and do it going forward.
A couple of little fairy lights around, a couple of heaters so people can sit outside and just meet. And you don't even have to be fair, you don't have to buy anything. It's just getting out. There might be a bit of music on the high street as you're walking by.
Enjoy it.
You know, just to get out of the house, really. Get used to getting out again.
Yeah, exactly. It's just about, you know, a high street feels good if it's got an atmosphere in it. And if it's got an atmosphere in it, there's a positive one, people feel a bit happier. If people are feeling a bit happier, then, you know, maybe they're going to take the kids up there, maybe they're going to buy an ice cream, maybe they're going to get a drink or a coffee or sit outside and have a chat.
Yeah.
That's what we want to try and do. Like I say, we can only, you know, you can take the horse to water by closing the high street, but you can't necessarily make it drink. And, you know, we'll try and provide a facility to do that, but people, hopefully in Brentwood, we'll say, oh, well, that's interesting. Let's get up to the high street and see how it goes. So that's the plan anyway.
Excellent.
But as I say, I'm talking to Laurie and Kim about what can we do so we don't just close it and cross our fingers. We close it, do something, and make it attractive. And some of the things you've said, I'm hoping that we can do as well.
Excellent. Lovely to talk to you, Chris. Happy birthday earlier in the week as well.
We won't say
many candles on the cake.
I think I'm over halfway, let's put it that way.
Right, you have a great week. Lovely to talk to you, and we'll talk to another member of the council next week.
All right, you take care, Michelle.
Cheers.
All the best.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Bye.
Bye.